Thanks for listening to this sermon from Redemption Church, Calgary North. We exist to see lost people saved, saved people matured, and mature people multiplied, all to the glory of God. For more information, visit us online at redemption.ca.
Woo! Praise the Lord. What a joy it is to be here in cold Canada. It's a thrill just to be back with you all here in Canada. It's been a few years, but I love coming here, and I really do love the people of Canada. I've had the privilege of doing different conferences here and speaking in different churches, and it's a thrill, and I especially because there's a hunger for truth in Canada. I really believe that, and so it's a joy to come and open God's Word and just stir the saints on to love Christ more. And so I'm thrilled to be here. I just got here from Uganda, so I'm still a little jet lagged. So if I say something funny, it's because I'm jet lagged. I'll blame it on that. But I have the joy and privilege of serving the Lord in Uganda. And as you can see, in a small little rural community, I came into this community and I just wanted them to know the Lord. And so we put together several ministries to help them know the Lord, and one of them is a primary and a secondary school. And so you saw that in the video, Legacy Christian Academy. In many ways, we have this whole community of people. How can we love them? Well, let's disciple them from the time they're in kindergarten on up. And you guys from this church and churches around here played a major role in helping us be able to teach and train these kids just through your support and sponsoring a kid. And we want to give you that opportunity again. So even as you leave, outside there will be an opportunity for you to sponsor a child. And I would hope that you would consider that. Every dollar you give is going directly to just advance the cause there of caring for that community. We want our community to know Christ. So much of Uganda and Africa at large, they live as if there's no king. Kind of what's going on in many parts of the world. We're living as if there is no king, but we want everybody to know there is a king, and his way is the best. There is a king, and his way is the his way is the best. And we get the privilege of really raising these kids up in our village to know the Lord. We have a primary school, secondary school. We have a medical center. We have a church. Our church today has 600 people worshiping the Lord from this small little village. Can we praise the Lord for that? And we also have a disability ministry. There are many, 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 many people suffering, and we get the joy of bringing them mobility devices and really trying to change and just give them joy in their homes and the privilege of knowing Christ. We're trying to rally churches to help the disabled in and through our community. We also want to see God's name in churches established throughout the country. We work at the Baptist Union of Uganda, 1,500 churches. And then what we've done is we've worked with this denomination through conferences, leadership trainings, and now what we're doing is we have a seminary. An accredited degree seminary. I tell people all the time that you can come there instead of going to the master's college. It's a whole lot cheaper, but you get a degree. That's what we're doing. We're giving degrees. We're discipling pastors and training them to be well-equipped pastors. And we'll tell you more about that in the years to come, because we want to go from there to seeing them launched and in churches throughout Uganda. So that's a little bit of what we do in Uganda. And we want you all to come out and see that. How many are ready to come on a missions trip? Come on, let's go. Trevor's going to bring another team. He's bring his daughter with him. Come on, we love it. Here's my family right here. It's crazy. Last time I saw Trevor's kids, they were small. I don't know what happened. And now they're ladies. What's going on here? Wait, they're my boys. No, I won't go there. Here is my family right here. Do me a favor and take your cameras out. Hit that QR code. I just want you guys to get our updates. Hit that QR code really quickly with your cameras, and it'll take you to my website. And I want you to go all the way to the bottom, and I want you to put your email address in so you can get our updates. You could stay encouraged. We want you to feel what you support as a church. We want you to feel and participate in that. And so please put your email addresses on the bottom of that and get our updates. And we just want to again encourage you to live for kingdom and know what your money's going toward as you support kids in our community. Lastly, tonight I'm going to be at Michelle Lynn's house. And I would love any of you that would just want to know, what is it, all the intricacies of serving the Lord in Uganda, what is it like being a missionary, what is it like, you know, what are the challenges? We're going to just open it up to just share about loving Christ together in Uganda. And so please, I'd invite you guys to come and participate in her house as we just talk about the ministry in Uganda. This morning, I have felt led to just give you kind of a hero. We all know that Hebrews 11 speaks of heroes of the faith, and Enoch is a hero of mine. He's one of those individuals that you look at and say, this is what I want to be. This is who I want to be. And I want you to just kind of get to know him with me. What's interesting, the Bible doesn't have a lot of like vibrant things to say about Enoch. There's not a whole like book of the Bible talking about him. There's just some little passages. And what I want to do this morning is I want to kind of bring these passages together and give you a sense of his life, give you a sense of what his challenges were, and help give you one phrase in his life that should be the goal and the passion of all of our lives. It's what I would hope would describe my life. It's what I would hope would describe your life. And I want to impart that to you this morning. Maybe by introduction, if there was one phrase that would describe you, and your children were to give you that phrase, or your wife was to give you that phrase, what description would they say? My dad is funny. My dad is cool. My mom is hardworking. What would they say about you? Would they say you're athletic, or that you love people, that you love God, that you're a God-fearing person? What would they say? What would be the testimony of your life? If there was one thing that you wanted as a testimony of your life, what would it be? Well, Enoch's testimony is very clear, very simple. And I want to show you his testimony, and I want to describe a little bit of what we have from the text about his life. I'm going to do that by means of three questions. Three questions we're going to ask. The three questions, the third one I'm going to spend the most time on, I'm going to provide five facts about Enoch to give you insight into his life with the goal of inspiring you, with the goal of encouraging you, and putting a model before you of a man that we all want to pursue and be like. And so here's question number one. Are we ready? You guys are not convincing at all. Huh? Are you ready? All right. Here is question number one. Who was Enoch? Who was Enoch? If you open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 5, verse 21 and following, we get a short description of the life of Enoch. Let's read what it says, and let's see what God's word describes Enoch to be like. Chapter 5, verse 21 says, when Enoch had lived how many years? Come on, come with me now. Come on. Ready? When Enoch had lived what? 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. And Enoch walked with? Enoch walked with? Walked with? He walked with God. After he fathered Methuselah 300 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Verse 24, Enoch walked with, and he was not, for he took him. Here is a simple description of the life of Enoch. It's interesting, within just the few verses, there is one pronounced statement about his life. One thing that is clear, that this is Enoch, and that is that he walked with God. There it is. There's the testimony. It was so pronounced in his life, it's repeated 2 times. There's only really 5 things that are said about Enoch in this section. One, that he had a son named Methuselah at age 65, who ended up being the oldest man to ever live. And not only that, but he had other children. And he lived only 365 years. Number 4, that God took him to heaven. And we learn this one phrase repeated 2 times. He walked with God. He walked with God. If you were to ask who was Enoch, according to the writer of Genesis, he was a man that walked with God. That's who he was. That was his testimony. That's what's said about this great man. It's so important to the writer of Genesis that it repeats it and repeats it. And it is this testimony that I want said about me. There's many accomplishments that we all pursue in our lives. But this one right here changes everything because it keeps you focused on the main thing. I look at my life and I praise God for all that he's allowed me to do. Some people can say, Shannon's the guy that sold Aflac ducks. If you don't know my testimony, that can easily said about me. But you know what? I don't really care that I sold Aflac ducks, although I love Aflac. He can be a guy, that's the guy that was the missionary for so many years, or that's the guy that had so many kids in his home. That's the guy who was married to Danielle Hurley. I like that one. But more than anything that I do in Uganda, more than anything that can be said about my life, it would be the goal that I would walk with God. If there was one testimony I would want for you, one aspiration that you can have for your life, it would be that you would be described as someone who walked with God. It begs the question from the text, which is question number 2, that is, what does it mean to walk with God? I mean, what does that mean? Right in the middle of Genesis, it gives us this phrase. It doesn't provide a definition. So what is he talking about? What is he saying? The only hint we can get from this text as to what he means is from Genesis 3:8. In Genesis 3:8, it says this. It says, and they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The only inclination we can get is from this text. When God is coming to walk with Adam and Eve, coming into the garden to spend time with them. And tradition says that there was this intimacy that they would have where God would come in the cool of the day and they would fellowship together in the garden. And here we see Adam and Eve, when God comes to walk with them, hiding themselves. Could it be that this would be referring to the same concept of Enoch walking with God? Could it even be that Enoch walked with God and he learned this from Adam. Did you know that Enoch was born, when Enoch was born, Adam was only 622 years old. He lived during the days of Adam. Adam lived another 308 years after Enoch. I mean, after Enoch was born. So Enoch would have known Adam. And could it have been that he even learned to walk with God from Adam? Enoch, clearly by this description, it's referring to the special intimate relationship that he had with God. Some sort of fellowship, some sort of pattern of his life was that he would commune with God rather than doing all the other many things that were going on in the life of Enoch. Enoch would set it aside that he would commune with God. It seems as if that was his greatest joy. That was his greatest passion. That prioritized the intimacy with the Almighty. That within all of the activities that he could have engaged in, sitting at God's feet was his highest priority. Having fellowship and communion, abiding in Christ. He probably knew that apart from that intimacy, he was ruined. Clearly, from this description, he took his relationship with God very, very seriously. It was his utmost priority. So much so that it describes his whole entire life. Unlike Adam and Eve, who ran from fellowship with God, Enoch ran to fellowship with God. The cry of my heart for myself and for all of us is that we would be like Enoch. Which brings me to question number three. Question number three is, what did Enoch's walking with God look like specifically? What was this? I mean, do we get any more detail, any more of a description of what this could possibly be? I think we do get more insight. That insight is not found from Genesis. That insight is found from the New Testament. In Luke and Jude 14 and 15, turn there with me. Let's just read this verse together. He gives us a little more insight about the life of Enoch. It says this in Jude, verse 14. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying. So this is Enoch speaking and prophesying. He's saying, behold, the Lord came with 10,000 of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way and all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. You say, wow, ungodly, 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 ungodly. He was quite the preacher against ungodliness. There's one verse that gives us some insight, and I'm going to draw these together with giving five facts. Let me just give you another verse. Look with me again at Hebrews chapter 11. The one other passage giving us insight into the life of Enoch. Look what it says in verse 5. Hebrews 11, verse 5, Enoch being a hero of the faith, he's mentioned, and he's mentioned here for his faith. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was what?
Taken up,
so that he should not see death. He was not found, because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he is the rewarder of those who seek him. Here are the two passages that give us some sort of insight into Enoch's walking with God, into his life and ministry. We have no idea what it was like for God to commune with pre-flood believers. We know in our day to walk with God would be that we would live in his presence throughout our day. We would live mindful that not only is he on a throne over this universe, but he is among us. He is within our hearts. He abides within us through his spirit. And there would be a living acknowledgement of his person throughout the day. And not only that, but that we would abide in his word and we would hear from his instruction, clear words spoken in the pages of scripture, and we'd be listening and studying his word, that we would know him, that we would sit and we'd spend time praying with him, right? Rolling all of the burdens of our heart onto his majesty. I love doing prayer walks. Just walking and just taking this burden and saying, Lord, you can hold this. Can you take this? Or Lord, I need help here. Or Lord, I am so tired of the inner wrestlings of my own heart. Lord, will you please help me? In our day and age, we know what walking with God is. It's abiding with him and communing with him throughout your day through the reading of God's word and through prayer. It's reading your Bible day and night and being like a tree planted by the streams of water. But let me give you some more insight from these two passages. Let me give you five facts about Enoch and is walking with God, so that you can get hope and you can get inspiration, you can get fervor and greater emboldeningness within your own life to walk with God in your day. Let me give you the first fact about Enoch and his walking with God. Enoch walked with God in the midst of evil days. He walked with God in the midst of evil days. We know very clearly that he lived in evil, immoral, godless days. It was probably even worse than in our day, even today. Fascinating, right? Well, we know this because Enoch left the earth only 69 years before Noah was born. And we know in the days of Noah that according to Genesis 6:5, that mankind was extremely wicked, that every intent of their thoughts, of man's heart, were only evil, it says, continuously. So much so that God was even sorry that he made man on the earth. These were the days in which Enoch walked. And so he provides this unbelievable, inconceivable encouragement, an example of the fact that one can walk with God and serve God in a godless and immoral society. You can walk with God, and you can do it even 300 years. Amen? You don't have to be like the world. You don't have to be like everybody else. You can be a unique man who stands out as one different than everybody else because of his communion with God. The same truth was said about Noah. In Genesis 6:9, we know that Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. What a powerful testimony that we would be like Enoch and Noah and be known as people who walk with him. What I like about this testimony, it gets beyond the religiosity, right? It gets beyond just the religiosity of a front show. And it gets to the intricacies of our heart and our true devotion in closet life with God. It comes to the heart of Christianity. Do you love God or not? Do you really want to know him? Do you really want to commune with him? Have you really entered into a relationship with God? I mean, we know the heart and soul of Christianity is a relationship with God, right? We know that God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, has reconciled sinful man with his holy person, bringing us into a relationship with himself. And so now, because our sins have been cleansed, because we've been righteous in Christ, we can now enter his holy of holies, and we can commune with God directly. Amen? Amen? This is the privilege we have in Christianity. Every believer gets this privilege. Every believer gets this opportunity. And throughout the history of the world, those who love God, those are the ones who God, those are the ones that we long to be. Like David, King David, it says this, Psalms 42, 1 and 2, as a deer pants for water, he says, so my soul pants for thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. This picture is that of David longing and yearning as a parched animal does for water. Charles Spurgeon, in his book Intimacy with the Almighty, says about this verse that David was heart sick. Ease he did not seek. Honor he did not covet. But enjoyment of communion with God was an urgent need of his soul, an absolute necessity like water to a stag. His soul, his very self, his deepest life was insatiable for a sense of divine presence. Paul had that same testimony when he says in Philippians 3, 10 through 14, that it's this one thing that I seek, right? For I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Not that I've obtained this or have already been perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus made me his own. Brothers, he says, I did not consider that I have made it my own, but this thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press toward the goal, to the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Sinclair Ferguson speaks of Paul's heart here, is that his heart, the secret of everything he did was to walk every waking hour, I'm sorry, that the heart in every ways, in the secret of everything I do, every waking hour, every different activity, they are all simply different ways of doing one thing, and that's to pursue Christ. That I may know Jesus Christ. That was Paul's passion. I wonder, when I look at my own life, and I get the privilege and joy of being a missionary and serving the Lord on a foreign land and everything being devoted to Christ, it's awesome. So privileged, so honored. So honored to represent churches all around the world in Africa and help build kingdom work that advances Christ's name across East Africa. Incredible privilege. And in the midst of it all, my greatest desire has to be to walk with him, to commune with him. Because the bigger the ministry gets, the more impact it that spreads. You want the lasting aroma of your life to be to know and love God. Dear friends, Enoch is an example. He's an inspiration for all of us that despite the days in which he lived, he can walk with God and you can too. Listen, we know that we're living in hard days. We know that everything around us is filled with all kinds of immorality, ungodly men doing ungodly things, right? That in many ways, people's hearts are evil continuously, just like in that day. We know that. But you know what? You can still walk with God and rise out above everyone else as that unique individual who communed with God. And honestly, I believe that that was the secret to his success in life, was that he cared more about God than he cared about anything else. Which brings us to a second fact about Enoch. Enoch walked with God by serving him. He walked with God by serving him. Jude 1, 14 and 15 teaches us that Enoch served God as a preacher, a proclaimer of God's truth, and an evangelist. He loved God so much that he could not help to proclaim him as the ruler, as the sovereign. He couldn't help but stand up for his character and stand up for his love for people and call them to submit under God's law. It's almost like he says, guys, you've all abandoned God. You've all become ungodly. Listen, repent, and come back to God, your creator. Listen to the words yet again from Jude. Enoch preached the fact that the Lord was going to come with many thousands of his holy ones. So he's talking about the prophecy of Jesus' return, with his holy ones to execute judgment upon all, to convict all the ungodly men of all their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way, and of the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against who? Him. Enoch was concerned with the fame of God. Enoch was concerned that God was being dishonored and his name was being brought low. And Enoch says, no, I got to preach. No, I got to share the truth about God. Everyone must know. No, God is like this. You see, it was his love affair for God that God's name must be restored and made great. Enoch understood that the universal king was being ignored, and he could not help but call all people back to his creator. Listen, the best evangelists in the world are merely Christians in love with God, are merely Christians inflamed with their love and a passion for God, so they can't help but help them know God in the real way, that he is the best, he is the best, he is good, right? If you love God, you will talk about him. You will warn others who are not right with him. You will defend his name and his word, because nobody can speak badly about someone you love, right? There's a third fact about Enoch's life that we can be inspired by. From these passages, we learn that fact number three, Enoch's walking with God was expressed by his faith in God, or was exercised by his faith in God. We know that it was by faith Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death and was not found, because God had taken him. It was why? By faith he was taken up. What described Enoch's life? It was his faith. Listen, this is what describes all of Christianity. We as Christians, we are people who live by faith. What does that mean? It means that we know what God's word reveals, and we believe it. We believe it to the point of giving our whole lives to it. Everything we do is in light of this truth. You see, there is something drastically that separates us from everyone else. It's we believe this, we proclaim this. We don't believe in homosexuality and transgender, not because we don't want to follow everybody else. It's because the king says otherwise. Am I right? And we believe in a heaven and a hell. We know that this is true. Listen, Christianity and a Christian are people of faith who really, really, really believe what God has revealed and what God has said. And in the midst of Enoch's day, despite what everybody was doing, Enoch really believed in God and lived for him. And it all flowed out of his communion with God. Isn't that awesome? And it's what's fascinating is the writer of Hebrews pulls out this application from Enoch's life. You can't really put these pieces together, but the writer of Hebrews can because he was inspired by God, right? And he draws out that, look, what made Enoch so unique? He really, really believed. Let me ask you, do you really, really believe? Do you believe this to be the truth? Do you believe this to be reality? If it is, we're not shocked because that's what all Christians believe. And if you're here today, you don't believe this to be true, well, listen, come study it. I've said this many times, and I've just turned 50. I know I look so much younger, but I just turned 50 in November. I was fighting it. I didn't want to get old. But you know what? I think I like getting older. Because when you're young, you don't know what this says. You barely know what this says. And when you study, you're like, wait, is that really true? And you believe it and you walk in it with, because you know it's true, because you've been taught it's true. But you have to exercise faith that it's true. Then when you get 50 and your kids move out of the house and you look back at the blessings of your life and all that God has done, you fall to your knees in praise because it was true, not just in faith, but in experience of the realities of God's word. Oh, young people, this is true. You can base your whole life on it. Experience the sweetness of faith in God. You see, don't believe what the world's saying. Don't believe all that's being propagated against you. It's not true. This is true. And that's what made Enoch's life so special, is that he believed in the truth. He had faith in the truth about God. Faith is belief in the substance of God's word, what he says. Let me ask you here this morning, do you really believe this to be true? And does your life reflect it? If you do, we should be walking in light of its pages. And not only that, but the your life should give testimony of its blessings. If you ignore the king, you will suffer the consequences. You'll look back and you'll see your family's a mess. Your own life's a mess. You're not happy. Why? Because you never believed the king and that his way was the best, and you tried to find other ways. I mean, you can't help but go to young people and say, please, please, please do things God's way. Please get married. Please find that God-fearing person and come together and do things God's way for your joy. I was telling Trevor before the service, I love this slogan. We have the same one in our church. But I add one little thing at the end of ours. Lost people saved, saved people multiplied, saved people matured, and mature people multiplied, all to the glory of God and the joy of people. Why? You see, listen, when we grow in Christ, it's not just for his glory, but it's for our own what? Our joy. And you know that as you commune with God and walk in faith in him. Do you really believe in the pages of Scripture? Do you really walk with God by trusting that he exists and seeking God despite what others are doing around you? Let me give you a fourth fact about Enoch's walking with God. Fourth fact is Enoch's walking with God brought joy to God. His walking with God brought joy to God. You say, what are you talking about? Back in Hebrews 11:5, it reads, "For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God." Now, hold on. What was his witness in Genesis? His witness was that he pleased God. Am I right? But now the writer of Hebrews is saying his witness was that he pleased God. You see, the Greek translation replaces the words Enoch walk with God with Enoch pleased God. And what's interesting is the translator, we don't really know what motivated that change. And the writer of Hebrews chose to use that translation. Therefore, I think that it can be said that Enoch's walking with God is synonymous with Enoch's pleasing God. Let me help you understand what I'm saying. As Enoch walked with God throughout his day and enjoyed intimacy with the Father, God felt pleasure. Have you ever considered the reality that God finds pleasure in his relationship with you? That God loves walking with you and enjoying you? When we contemplate this passage is saying, it's an unbelievable truth. If you really consider what God's word is saying about God's relationship with us, it would be clear to understand that God passionately loves us to the point of coming to earth, dying on a cross, that we might have a relationship. And so we engage in that relationship. He finds pleasure in it. My wife, I've been married for 27 years at the end of this month, and probably one of her favorite things is just to go hiking with me, holding hands, and just walking. And the intimacy that you share is you just hang out. Too often we don't spend enough time just hanging out, right? Entertain ourselves with our phones and our TVs and all the stuff. We really don't even know how to have relationships anymore. It's almost like we don't even need people, let alone God. But I want a motivation to your own soul is that God finds pleasure when you find pleasure in him. God finds pleasure when we take time out of our day and we walk with God, when we sit at his feet and listen to his word, when we pray and roll over our concerns to him, when we run to church to hear God's word preached, when we worship Him with all our affections, all of our passions and emotions, when we run to Him with our problems. That's why God calls us to cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. That's why He says, come unto me, all ye weary and heavy laden, that you might find rest. When we trust God's word and walk in His wisdom, when we believe that He will be our help in times of trouble, when we fight against sin that we might love Him more, all of that finds pleasure because He knows that we're being satisfied in Him and nothing else. Have you ever considered the fact that the greatest commandment in the world is to love the Lord your God with all your soul, and this is the foremost and greatest commandment? Why? Why does God make loving Him the foremost commandment? Because what He wants from His creation is love, relationship, communion. And too often, this is not what we give the Lord. The answer to so many of our problems is actually being satisfied in God, is it not? Not satisfying ourselves with things outside of God, but satisfying ourselves with God and His word and His way. So often we find so much instability and we're trying to get joy from people instead of finding it in God. But when you trust Him, when you walk in Him, you enjoy Him. Remember what the Bible says, the eyes of the Lord look to and fro throughout the earth to find those whose hearts are completely His. Have you considered the reality that God finds pleasure in you and your love for Him? This should be a motivation to all of us. Last fact, fact number five, is Enoch's walking with God resulted in a reward. The verses very clearly say from verse 5 of Hebrews chapter 11, it says this, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. It's very clear that the reward of his faith, the reward of his walking with God, was that he was taken to see the Lord. The second part of the verse, it makes it very clear that God is a rewarder of those who what? Who seek Him. When you seek Him, He rewards you with His presence in heaven. Enoch was taken up by God into God's presence that he would be the first example of those who seek Him finding Him. What's interesting is there was no atonement at this point, right? But he was directly taken into the presence of God despite being a sinner. Here is an example of grace. Listen, and may it always be known that God never saves us on the basis of our own unrighteous standing. It's always on His basis of grace. Amen? As a result of the coming work in Enoch's day of what Christ would do. But it's very clear that from this, that there is a reward for those who seek Him. Not just true of Enoch, but true of us. Let's take a moment here to reflect. How serious are we at this stage in our lives, in this ungodly day in which we live, how serious are we about walking with God? About communing with Him? Is this the greatest passion of your heart? If we're honest with ourselves, most likely the answer is no, we're not serious. We must be clear that for most of us, we have substituted God for social media. Am I right? I mean, there is, it's a known fact that those who created these, they have made it so that it occupies your attention and time, because the more you spend on it, the more commercials they show you, the more money they. And as a result of that, we do not abide in Christ as we should, because we abide in social media. It should be clear that we have replaced God. We've replaced God for friends and sports and education and video games. That we can't sit in God's presence, because our presence is always filled with other things. And this isn't just true of you. It's even true of me in Africa. Too often we've traded God for sin, for pleasure, for fleshly gratification. And our consciences have gotten lured to sleep, so that there's apathy that sits in our hearts, because we fail to love God and confess sin quickly and get right, that we might love Him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. But we become like Adam and we hide from Him. Dear friends, the sweet thing about God is there's always forgiveness and there's always a way back, right? And it doesn't change the fact that Enoch is an example that we can look at and we can pursue after. Listen, it's not a day fight. It's a day after day after day after day fight. Let us run the race with a cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Let us run this race with what? Endurance. But before we have to take off all the sin and all the encumbrances that easily entangle us. It's an always taking off that we might run. Always taking off that we might run. But Enoch is an example that we can run, we can win, and we can even do it in this day and age in which we live. We've been told 1,000 times that we need to spend time with God in prayer, in God's word. We've been told 1,000 times that if we delight ourselves in God and meditate on His word day and night, we'll be like this tree planted by the streams of water. But will we choose yet again to fortify our minds and our hearts to pursue God like Enoch? Would we choose to have intimacy with the Almighty over intimacy with the creation? Don't believe the candy of the physical is more satisfying than the solid food of the sovereign God. Dear friends, people were to describe your life with one phrase, what would that phrase be? For Enoch, it was that he walked with God. What about you? What about you? What about me? May we find strength in the life of Enoch this morning. And may we do the one thing that's necessary, and that's pursue God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, to love Him upmostly. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your love. For men like Enoch who've gone before us that we can learn from. Lord, this is an easy message to preach, but so hard to live. because we so quickly find joy in things outside of you instead of finding our joy in you. Father, the refreshment of our soul is you. And so will you help my friends to be restored and rejuvenated with the life of Enoch, with the life of Paul, that one thing they seek, he seeks. May this be true, that we would walk with you. Thank you for the privilege of a relationship with you. Help us to that end. Through your Son we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this sermon from Redemption Church, Calgary North. We exist to see lost people saved, saved people matured, and mature people multiplied, all to the glory of God. For more information, visit us online at redemption.ca.